Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for joining in our conversation today about forgiveness. Forgiving is possibly one of the hardest topics to talk about, probably because it is one of the greatest acts that sets us free from so much bondage. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it is a choice. And Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for us to not only receive forgiveness, but to find freedom that forgiving others will bring. So join in the conversation as we discuss the steps to forgiveness. As we have been talking about the freedom of forgiveness, Janie, we have to know that freedom wasn't free.
Good point.
The freedom to forgive and receive forgiveness as believers, it wasn't free.
Sharon, let's just stop and think for a second. Well, what did it really cost God to give us the freedom that he has asked us to live in, opening the door to forgiveness? And stop and think, God is eternal. Mm-hmm. He's always been.
Right.
And we know that Jesus Christ is a part of the Trinity. So from the beginning, which had no beginning, God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit had never known separation.
Okay.
Now the cross was going to demand that. So God had to separate his heart from the heart of sin that was put on his Son. And somebody can logically say, well, hey, that was 72 hours. That was eternity in the what we now know was 72 hours. But they left time and space and went into timeless eternity in their separation. They had never known that.
Wow.
And you have to let your mind meditate on that concept.
That really does take some processing.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it cost God in being separated from his Son in an eternal aspect that they had never known. Now, what did it cost Christ? Well, Christ had to take on the form of humanity in his divinity and come here and be the living expression as to what it cost. And the cross was the most humiliation way that a person could receive the death penalty in the Roman government. I mean, today we would have injected him with some sort of lethal drug in the comfort and air conditioning of a nice room.
Right.
But no, he was humiliated. He was stripped of his garments. They were casting lots at his feet. Who was going to get his garment as he hung naked on the cross? So he died the most humiliating, demeaning death that a person living in that time could experience.
Not to mention the ridicule, being spat on, being mocked.
Yes. And then looking down at his own mother and the agony that she mm-hmm. was experiencing. And yet mm-hmm. on that cross, he was still giving of himself to the thief, saying, "But would you remember me?" And the Lord said, not only will I remember you, but today you'll be with me in paradise. So that heart that was willing to know the agony of death that I will never be able to comprehend, even when I see him mm-hmm. face to face.
Right.
But I'll have the reminder of the scars in his wrist of where he hung on the cross. So that's what it cost God the Father, God the Son. Now, for the Christian today, it's going to cost us our pride because we can say, oh, yes, I forgive, but that's a condescending forgiveness. But unless our heart is broken because of what he did, we will never be able to say, oh, but I forgive from the heart. Our heart will have to know the brokenness that he experienced for us to be willing to let our pride go to the cross.
And so that brings up something for me, Janie, that we constantly talk about the free gift of salvation, that we don't really consider what that cost is to us. We don't think about it costing us anything. So it's a free gift. I can live like I want in liberty and freedom, and I don't have to consider any costs to myself.
Yes. Well, and that is what we call arrogant pride. All right. And if we do not let go of our feelings, that as you have just described, then we will want vengeance.
Okay.
We will want to be able to blame with anger and rights to get even. So we have to recognize that the Lord has said that vengeance is mine. I will repay. You don't try to make right the wrong, because Romans 12:19 says that if you want to hold on to the offense, you actually hinder God's disciplining and bringing about the vengeance. Now, he may bring it about instantly. He may not bring it about in your lifetime. He may not bring it until at the judgment seat, whether it's the Bema or the great white throne.
Right.
But we leave it up to him.
And then Proverbs 24:17-18 says, "Rejoice not when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from the offender."
Yes. Now, let's think about current expressions that I have heard. Well, yeah, serves him right what happened to him.
Oh.
That is an expression of us fulfilling.
Yeah, rejoicing in the enemy's fall. Okay.
Yes, yeah. So do you see how subtle?
Yeah, that is subtle.
Okay. And many times people gloat in seeing someone if they were demoted or if they lost their job. And so sometimes we delight when we see the loss in another person's life.
That's terrible to think about it in that aspect. But the subtlety of the way that we rejoice is probably where a lot of us fit in that slot.
And I will use the terminology, it gives us self-satisfaction that somebody was torn down and we didn't have to be involved. It's a wickedness of the flesh.
Right. Okay.
Okay. But Sharon, let's move to the fact that we need to kind of look to see what lessons we can learn when we're willing to implement the process of forgiveness. Can you actually go back and sincerely thank the Lord that you've learned some lessons in those times of pain and that you can actually see them as tools for victory living and helping others? In other words, can you see the benefit of what you have
been through?
Battled, yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I can. You know, a few years ago that I went through the process of forgiveness, not realizing that I hadn't forgiven. You know, I had just said, you know, I forgive them. That's the past. I'll just move on. But not really understanding that I was holding those grudges against them and that resentment.
Well, one of the things that I think we can all see how we have been set free, and that is if you can be around someone who has been a part of an offense and you know that they have caused hurt, but you don't feel anger, you don't feel resentment, and in fact, you want to be able to help build them up. They may not know why they have caused you this pain, but you still have the history of it. But you can...
You can even take lessons from them.
Yes,
I found this to be true in a person that I forgave, that there was a temptation to remove myself from their presence, like we talked about last week. But I chose to go and be in their presence, and being in their presence when they spoke, I actually learned something from the scriptures that they had shared.
Well, and I think that is a beautiful example of a heart set free. And I've had the opportunity to not only recognize where the person may keep repeating the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Is it number one, they may be blind in some areas and not realizing how they are coming across?
Right.
Number two, I may lack full information on knowing why they are responding the way that they are. But since I do still have questions, I've learned that those questions need to go to the throne room in intercession for that person. So I've learned that prayer will bring together what I don't understand.
Absolutely.
Because I know the intercessor. I know he's called me to be an intercessor mm-hmm. in this age of grace and to bring those things before him as the great high priest.
Well, and I think a lot of times we approach the offender as if they know that they've offended us. So we have this idea that they did it on purpose or that it was a setup or that they purposefully set out to harm us in some way. And that's not true. They probably have no idea that we are offended by some action or words that they said.
That's right.
You know, we have to be careful that we're not taking up offenses.
Well, let's always say that a suspicious nature never, never comes from God.
Okay.
There are times that the Lord will give you caution in what you do. In other words, if you know that somebody's going to come in and attack you, then I would probably not go up and seek to engage in something to open up their vengeance.
Right.
So there's a time that you use caution. But any time you sense suspicion and assumption, not having all the facts, just know the enemy's knocking at your door to cause you trouble, and you stand on the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ.
So tell me, Janie, what are the steps to forgiveness so that we can thwart the enemy in his tracks?
Well, Sharon, if I had you in a counseling room today and I knew that you were ready to deal, but you just didn't know what the Bible said on what step ones, what steps.
Okay.
All right. First thing I'd have you do is I would have you actually write down all the offenses that were stopping you from enjoying the total freedom of forgiveness. All right. So I'd have you write it down because that way it has your heart a better understanding of where there may be some nuances that you need to have aware of in this process.
So we write it down and why we're offended by it.
Yes.
Or why
yes.
it's hurt us that way.
Yes.
So we're actually bringing an understanding to ourselves of why we're offended by this particular action.
And accepting responsibility and writing it down, identifying
okay.
it.
Okay.
Step number two. Now, you go alone before the Lord and you don't go bounce off everything with somebody else. This is something you do with the Lord. You don't bring in other people because they may take up your offense while you're trying to get rid of it.
I've actually had that
happen.
Yeah,
I have too.
Oh, my goodness.
I have too.
Okay.
And another exhortation to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Okay. But as we go before the Lord and we accept each wrong, and we can do that because of what Christ has done for us, you release your hurting heart.
Okay.
You are no longer responsible for the offender's actions.
Okay.
You've released it. And then you're able to say with Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Now,
okay.
that may at some point involve a verbal communication, but you are now accepting on yourself alone between you and God anything that needs to be done and helping to bear them for release.
Okay.
Now, point three, and this is a tough one. With each offense, you claim it as your own, since we know we all need forgiveness, and you pass it on to God. You no longer have the responsibility for the problem.
Okay.
You've given it to your Father God. And that's when he says that he will deal with the offender in his time, any way he wants. And I do know one situation where I followed this strictly, And the Lord blessed the offender out of their socks. I didn't think that's the way you'd handle this. And he says, good, you're no longer responsible, Janie. And I thought, but Lord, they're still in sin. Why are you blessing them? Leave it to me. So you can get into some real battles if you are still aware of of it not really going the way you thought it would go. But once you've released it, then you take that written list and you destroy it.
And that's step four.
And that would be step four.
You destroy the list.
You destroy the list. And the way that I chose to do it was to burn it, because I knew with ashes, I could not go back and reconstruct it.
Oh.
I didn't file it away.
You can't tape it back together.
I can't tape it back together. I burned it, because that was my way of saying, Lord, I don't want to remember it, because it's ashes. And what good are you going to do with ashes except to filter them and make some lye soap? All right, that's another lesson too. All right, now, caution, caution, caution. At this point in your taking the steps of process, do not go back to the offender and tell them you've forgiven them.
Oh.
Just what you said. They may not know.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in a youth seminar years ago when my children were young, and they had to write the letter. They went to these steps. But the seminar then picked them up and mailed them to the person that you had self-addressed the envelope to. So one of my children, giving forgiveness as they had been instructed by a godly institution, and when the person received the letter, they went into a rage because they didn't have any guilt.
They didn't do anything wrong. What do you have to forgive me for?
Exactly.
Right.
And it
okay.
destroyed a relationship for the rest of that offender's life with a person who was seeking forgiveness.
Oh.
She was about 14, and she lost a very important relationship because she was being obedient to what she thought was the truth.
Right.
Now, the scripture says in Matthew 18, there's a time that we will confront, but that's further on down the steps of forgiveness, all right?
Okay.
So we don't go and try to make amends with something written until the Lord tells us. Okay, then when we are free, then we can check our hearts and know that he has paid the price for all. Now, Sharon, in Galatians 6:1, there is an exhortation, and it says, if an offense is persistent that disrupts Christian harmony, then it says, brethren, so we know it's a Christian that's being addressed.
Okay, right.
All right. If a person is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
Mm.
So this takes a lot of understanding in how we restore in a spirit of gentleness.
Right.
Now, Sharon, in Matthew 18:15, it gives us a process, and that is many times applied legalistically without some of these other former steps being taken into consideration on what it costs God and everything.
Right, okay.
So Matthew 18, we need to make sure that that is applied in the power of the Spirit through the other things that have already conditioned our heart.
So what's Matthew 18 say?
Well, Matthew 18 tells us that we go to one another and that Matthew 18:15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two other people, and by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. This passage is really more for church discipline, because now you're going to take two or three witnesses.
Okay.
But we've also been told other places in Scripture where we can deal with this between the Lord and us alone, or we can ask the Lord to prepare the heart. And what I have done is, Lord, if this entails going to your brother and having discussion, that I don't necessarily go and say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. I wait for the Lord to arrange something so that I know their heart is prepared to have the conversation that is necessary.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, fortunately, I had this happen to me one time when a person called me and said, I need to tell you I've forgiven you. And I thought, well, you and who else? But I had no idea that I had offended them. I was the offender. I didn't have a clue. But because my heart was right before the Lord, I could take their calling me into accountability with the love of the Lord, because I knew where they were trying to aright themselves according to this passage. Now, Sharon, when you do follow through with these steps, don't be surprised if you're met with some resistance from your brother in Christ, because many Christians are not willing to let go of their identity as being a victim. You caused me problem. You made this problem for me, and I'm going to hang on to it. I may decide to forgive you at some point, but I'm not
ready. But not before I spread it around the church, what you've done.
Thank you. Thank you. And this will cause you to go into that steps of bitterness. So you better make sure that if you're resisting forgiveness, that you're also opening up the door to bitterness. You don't decide when you're going to forgive when God calls you to forgive. He says, you forgive, I will equip you with everything you need to walk in the newness of life because you've chosen to forgive.
Okay.
And then also, last, we have been called to pursue peace with each other, knowing that we all offend in one point or another. And then it tells us in Romans 12:18 that we're to live in peace as it is possible. There will be some situations where you have done everything you can to pursue peace and offer forgiveness, accept forgiveness, accept your wrong, and the people are still not going to forgive you.
Okay.
And we see that bitter spirit not only towards us, but to many that are around us.
Well, it's a cancerous disease that spreads like wildfire, remember?
Yes, it does. And it burns. It burns. It destroys.
Okay.
So, Sharon, how do you want to close us out right now on what we've covered today to show the joy, the steps, the benefits of listening to the Lord and letting Him be the true forgiver and also the true provider of vengeance when He sees it's necessary?
Well, Janie, I would like to close us with asking you to pray for our hearts to be ready and willing to forgive.
Okay. Father, what a beautiful provision that you have provided us for a privilege to live in the light that you give us and living by what you have asked of us for our well-being as well as for the body of Christ and for our eternal destiny. And Father, that is such a motivation factor because of you setting the example as forgiving us. So, Father, we ask that we never, ever be a hindrance to the provisions you have given us so that we could prevent something that you're wanting to provide. Father, cleanse our hearts. Let us see where the enemy is bringing in his forgiveness, which is a false forgiveness that holds us in bondage, and that we can know true forgiveness from our hearts that you have provided. Make this real to us, Father, and we will thank you and praise you for who you are and what you do. And it's in your Son's name and for all that it stands for that we can claim victory. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzlaff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHart's.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.